Welcome into the Tuesday edition of The Lowdown. We thank you so much for being here with us. Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph. I am Damian Barling. We got a national championship game that absolutely sucked to talk about. The Kings and Mavericks tonight. Tony Romo, we're going to try to make sense of this the best we can. I think there's a lot of interesting reporting going on around Tony Romo. And you know, one of the things that we love to do here on The Lowdown is try to connect the dots and put some things together. It's 1201. Jenny King Commercial Cleaning has your franchise waiting. Call 916-364-9800. 44-1140 on the text line if you want to connect with us. Of course, the phone lines are open for you as well. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. As of this moment, it is official. The Dallas Cowboys have released Tony Romo. Now, the reporting of this started really, really early this morning, and depending on who you were listening to and what their sources were depending on whether you were hearing Tony Romo is stepping away from the game of football. He's going to pursue broadcasting opportunities. As the morning went along, you heard Tony Romo is stepping away from football, and he's going to be replacing Phil Simms as the lead analyst on CBS Sunday morning, or CBS football. But if you listen to the NFL Network, where Ian Rappaport was doing his reporting, he was saying Tony Romo is retiring. If you listen to Adam Schefter, you hear he's stepping away from football. I think those are two drastically different words. Based on the fact that the Dallas Cowboys released Tony Romo, it leads me to believe he's not retiring. He's stepping away, and he can be brought back at any point during the season by any team out there. Whereas if he was retiring, the Cowboys would be in a similar situation that the Seahawks are in with Marshawn Lynch, and Tony Romo playing anywhere would really be on Jerry's own discretion. So there's a lot to dissect here. There's a lot to unpack. There's a lot to talk about. Men, your initial thoughts on it?
Not overly surprised based on, what was it, Instagram that he put out that almost like farewell to the fans a little while ago.
Was it Johnny Cash playing in the background or something? Things are a changing or times are a changing.
Bob Dylan.
Thank you.
Yeah, maybe a little precursor of what he was thinking. Soft landing though. CBS lead analyst, $4 million. Spent a lot of time golfing. He's already tried to qualify for a U.S. Open before. Wouldn't be shocked if he puts even more effort in that.
And if he doesn't qualify, he gets to call it.
Yeah, exactly.
So not bad.
And then the other initial reaction of kind of, is this the finality for him? I think the only way he comes back is for the Cowboys. That's it. No other chance to me.
And before you jump in here, Ken, it sounds like that is absolutely the case. And we were having a discussion. I was talking to our producer, Chris Verlau, before the show started. And I've been talking with Trey Wingo throughout the morning. I tried to get him booked today. Obviously, all these guys are slammed now with this news coming out today. But I was talking with him. And it turns out all of this posturing we heard by Jerry Jones throughout the course of the last few weeks was actually done for Tony Romo. Romo was the guy who couldn't make up his mind. He was the guy who didn't really want to separate from the Dallas Cowboys. And while he was devastated by what happened last season in terms of, you know, he gave that speech. We sat in here. We carried that concession speech live as it was happening. And I know at one point when he was talking and our mics were off, I said, oh, my God, I think he's going to retire. And essentially, that was his retirement speech. And he said at that time, it's really hard to sit on the sidelines with what you feel is the best team that you've ever played for. Whether it is or it isn't, that remains to be seen. But he never really got over that, and that hurt him. He didn't want to go play elsewhere. So when Jerry Jones said last week, or you know, during the owners' meetings last week, well, we'll figure it out by training camp. That was because Tony and Jerry had been talking, and Tony was saying, I don't know, man. Like, I don't want to leave Dallas. I don't know what I want to do. And Jerry would say, okay, I got it. Don't worry about it. I'll fall on the sword. I'll take it. I'll make it about me. And it turns out that that's where we are. And I think you're right, Jason. I said all of that to say a lot of people have Tony Romo as the so-called emergency quarterback. Like, if something happens, we're going to call him out of the booth. The only guy I think he comes out of the booth for is the Dallas Cowboys, Ken.
Yeah. So, am I the only one that thinks this is a horrible idea? Apparently I am.
this seems like a bad idea.
Which part?
All of it. There is nothing that shows me.
And this surprises nobody, just for the record.
Well, can anyone show me any example or any tape, anything that lets me know that Tony Romo is going to be compelling and outgoing as an analyst doing football? Does anyone have any proof of that? Because I don't see any.
Why do you need that? You know how many games Phil Simms called before his first game on CBS as the main analyst?
Nope.
Zero.
I also know that Phil Simms won 2 Super Bowls, so that brings a different level of knowledge to that position, that seat.
No, it doesn't.
There's a bit more you can say if you're covering playoffs.
Okay.
So the first time Tony starts talking about playoffs, if he's covering playoff games, viewers immediately are going to tune out because that dude doesn't know anything about what he's
played in the playoffs. That's not true. He didn't play in the Super Bowl. He's played in the playoffs.
He won like 2 games?
Yeah,
if that,
3, 2, 2-ish.
So that stuff's going to come back. Number 2, there's nothing about his
personality. He's so cynical, man.
I'm trying to figure out what's happening. There's nothing about his personality that says to me, oh, that guy's going to be fun to listen to and watch. He seems so not outgoing. He seems like a total introvert. But I'm hoping that maybe because he's going to share something he's passionate about, which is football, it'll come out.
Would you have guessed Moose Johnston would be a great analyst?
Probably.
Did you ever hear Moose Johnston talk before he was an analyst?
I did remember hearing him in an interview, but he was the fullback, so I didn't really get a whole lot.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
What about Steve Young? Is Steve Young I love that the alert just popped up on my phone that says breaking news from the Dallas Cowboys. Like, yeah, you guys are a little late on this. It's the official news from the Cowboys that he's been released.
Steve Young can't do a game. He does the halftime post. Yeah. He can't do a game. And I don't really think it's all that special when he's doing the pre and halftime and post. It's really hard to find athletes that can communicate effectively what they go through, what they're seeing, how that relates to what you're seeing. It's hard.
And you don't think that he can communicate that?
Well, I don't know if he can, but I'm saying I haven't seen any proof of that. And it's basically a $4 million gamble that they're saying, yeah, he can do this. That's my first thing. Like, what proof do you have he can do that? Number 2.
Before you jump in, I disagree because I don't think it's a gamble, guys, because you're essentially trying to keep him away from Fox or maybe ESPN or NBC or who knows.
Right.
So you're outbidding the competition. Okay, we're going to take – it's not like people bitch about Joe Buck weekly. They bitch about him all year because he calls baseball games too.
Yeah.
You're not going to stop watching the World Series. You're not going to stop watching Fox on Sunday. You're going to watch whether Joe Buck is calling. You're going to watch whether Tony Romo is interesting. There are a lot of people who don't like Phil Simms. Phil Simms has said some pretty stupid stuff sometimes. And I think there are Twitter accounts dedicated to the stupid stuff Phil Simms occasionally says. But no one stops watching because of the analyst.
Then why would they fire
him? I've muted it a couple times.
Then why
they didn't fire him.
They just bumped him down.
Why would they replace an analyst? Because they're obviously replacing him because
he's got the
of
Pam,
what you said.
He's got the Pam Oliver syndrome. He just got bumped down a notch.
Oh, that was not cool.
I don't think it was either. But still, Phil Simms is getting bumped down a notch.
So I'm looking
for now.
At him like, so they probably bumped him down because you're right. He does get criticized a lot, Phil Simms. Now, I don't care what the analyst says during the game. And if the analyst has won 2 Super Bowl rings, I'm like, well, you can say whatever you want. You know this game better than we do. If you say something that doesn't quite sound right, I don't care, man. But they obviously feel like, okay, we need to upgrade at that spot. So you upgrade at a spot with someone who has zero experience, and then you sit him next to the most prepared, consummate professional in broadcasting in Jim Nantz.
Which might be partly why.
So he can carry him. Yeah, he can carry him.
I mean, at the beginning, if I'm Jim Nantz, who you're right, I think you nailed it. I mean, he can work like he did last night with Grant Hill and Bill Raftery to Phil Simms to the golf this week. But I would tell him to Tony Romo, be prepared. Tell me something that I don't know, that I can't see. I'm going to describe the action and try to relate that to the fan because I haven't been in a huddle. I haven't taken a snap. I don't know why that blitz is coming. I don't know why that decision was made. If he can do that in somewhat of a compelling way, because the jury is out. I mean, we don't know that. I get the premise, but for a guy who hasn't done it, you're right. I mean, in one sense that it could fail in that regard. I think he'll get better at it.
Sure.
But to put him in the number one spot right away is a little bit intriguing to me.
Tony Romo just tweeted a picture of him in his new CBS blazer.
That looks like a fake patch.
That's totally. He drew that on himself. Come on, Tony. You're better.
Can it
than
be
that.
A Photoshop?
You're better than that. You're better than that, Tony.
Does that make us colleagues? Are we colleagues with Tony Romo now?
Yes.
No.
No. He's in the family.
CBS.
But this isn't.
Won't he be over for Christmas?
Because that's all you see. Yeah. What?
Well, isn't this going to be different?
Well, eventually. Why now? Ruin it? Yeah. Like,
I don't know.
For now, he's still coming for Christmas. Maybe not.
Can we? So is his name in the company directory?
Oh, I don't know.
Chris, can you look into
email
that?
Yet.
Not yet.
Is it Tony Romo at CBS
That's
Sports.com?
Amy and Marilyn will get all that stuff updated, and then they'll bring
they'll
out
They'll send out the official welcoming email.
And then you'll have Tony's email and home phone number and cell phone number and all that stuff.
Romo better not come for my cryotherapy stuff, man. I'll tell you that right now. I know that falls right up his alley,
right?
But
he needs that more than anything.
He better not come try to take my business with the good people at cryotherapy.
Do
US
you
cryotherapy.
Also think it's a situation where, and I wouldn't put it past Jer, to be like, look, man, I don't want to see you in anything but the star. How can we keep you from doing? How can we keep you from going anywhere but the star? And
he
probably says, "I got an option. I don't want to play for anyone else either. So I'll go to the booth."
Yeah, but at the same time, so let's be clear: releasing Tony Romo saves them money, and we've discussed this in the past. Whether they necessarily, it doesn't. I think it doesn't save them very much. Real money, like cash, but it saves them cap money. And sometimes cap money is
way more valuable.
It's a lot more important than the actual cash that they're paying to the athlete.
Why they wouldn't wait. Like TV, this is the thing that kind of annoys me about what we do. There's nothing that is happening seat of our pants, spur of the moment in this business, except for what's happening right this very second, us talking. Everything that goes into this is all thought out way in advance. The fact that we're in this seat together was thought out by management over a year ago. Like, all that stuff is
a year ago? Exactly. I just got a happy anniversary tweet from Jason Ross.
I forgot. That's today, guys.
You forgot our anniversary?
Gentlemen, I apologize.
No
gifts. Sorry.
No flowers.
Hold on. I'm going to get something.
No sandwiches.
But let me go back to what I was saying.
I'll say.
And that was even early. It was more than a year because they called me in December. Right, and said, hey, do you want to come join?
They called me 3 days before we started.
No, you were here. They just didn't know what hour you were going to be or what the show was going to be, but you were already here.
They haven't told me.
But they called me, and they're like, hey,
Jason's
want you
still wondering
out.
What the hell we're doing here.
But at this level, it's all done way in advance.
True.
So I'm like, okay, do you not see the CBS that you have completely ruined all of your momentum by announcing him as the number one broadcaster for your football games in April? Why wouldn't you just say, hey, he's going to be a part of our team, and then in August? You say, we've decided our new number one team is Jim Nance and Tony Romo. Like, I feel like this is all going to be forgotten. And by the time we get to the season, everyone's going to go, oh, yeah, I forgot Tony Romo is going to be in the booth. I just feel like TV.
Unless that, and I agree with you, unless that's done, is that done for Phil Simms in any way? I mean, it's the worst news for him, I guess. I mean, he's still going to call football games.
Right.
But is it done today for him as much as anything?
Well, you mean, what do you mean? Because it's like, embarrassing for him today.
Yeah, but let's be done. You know, instead of.
Well, they could have told him, say, hey, we're bringing him in, and then don't make an announcement on the number one team. Yeah. And then tell him over the course of the summer, we're going to probably try to work Tony in.
Yeah.
So that he doesn't have to deal with finding out he lost his job on Twitter.
True.
Like, what kind of nonsense is that?
You don't think they called him before they tweeted about it?
I don't know.
I
really don't
did.
Know. Did well, you ever hear the story of CBS and Brent Musburger? He found out he was fired when he went to dinner and his corporate credit card was canceled.
Ooh.
I don't think I heard that story. That's a hell of a story.
That's classy.
It is.
That's classy.
Sure.
So I'm just saying, it's dirty, man, at every single level.
That's this business, man. This business is not pretty.
So I was like, wow, you couldn't like take the time to cushion or at least give your man a heads up so he doesn't find out he lost his job on Twitter? Like, that's the worst.
Yeah. The amount of hate that is coming through the text line for Tony Romo, it's incredible.
Because everybody wants to see him play football. He still has 3 years of football.
No, that's not the case.
No, it's not.
No.
They don't want to see him in the booth?
They don't want to see Tony Romo at all. Here's a little sample of what's going on here at 44-11-40. If someone has something positive to say, my gosh, shoot it this way. It's beyond me at how much attention Tony Romo gets. I mean, at his best, he's an average quarterback who gets hurt every season.
Ooh.
I think that he could make a Football Follies highlight reel of him that would be longer than his actual highlight reel.
Oh.
That is so not
cold-blooded.
True. How about this one? It's over. Romo is never coming back, and I agree. Romo seems very boring as an analyst. Winning playoff games has zero to do with announcing. Jim Nance never went to played never played in an NFL game. So there you go. There was someone that sort of had Tony's back. Doesn't Tony? Hey, A-Rod turned out to be a good analyst. How about that? Anybody think A-Rod would be a good analyst?
Is he?
He has a totally. He's enjoyable to listen to.
Has he done games?
Well, we've seen him in the studio.
So you're right. He's a studio analyst. You're right. That's not a fair comparison.
Because you got to do some work.
Yeah.
If you're going to go do that game, you got to do some real work.
Phil Simmons was an over-opinionated, outspoken ass during his playing days.
Is that Bill Simmons or Phil Simmons?
Phil Sims.
Oh, okay.
Phil Sims was an over-opinionated, outspoken ass during his playing days. He fit perfectly in the broadcast booth.
Exactly.
Romo has absolutely no personality. Wow. Also, didn't Tony Romo play quarterback for many seasons? Doesn't he know how to prepare? Of course he does. So there you go. Maybe that's a little more supportive.
A little more supportive.
Then there's this one. Uh-oh. As soon as Tony Romo sits in the chair, he'll break his back and be out another 10 weeks.
No, they'll get him an ergonomic chair.
Yeah.
Right, he'll be squared away.
Can't Romo sign with an NFL team now? Yes. He absolutely can sign with an NFL team.
He does not have, because he's been released. He didn't
retire. He's been released. And that's the difference. Yeah. That's where I think there were people using the wrong words and drawing the wrong conclusions this morning and won't pay attention. And we'll put together some of these dots for you. Tony Romo's with CBS. Tony Romo now has a broadcasting agent. I know his broadcasting agent. We've talked about Creative Arts Agency before, a CAA. Guess who else CAA represents? The guy who broke the story, your favorite NFL insider, Adam Schefter. Mm-hmm. You can go through Adam Schefter's text line or timeline, and you can go through all of the interviews that he's done all morning. Adam Schefter has not once used the word retirement. He has not once used the word retire. He hasn't tweeted the word retire. I think there's a reason for that. I think if anybody is, there's no one more connected to the Tony Romo situation now because of the broadcasting thing than Adam Schefter is. There is a reason he didn't use the word retire or retirement, and I have to wonder if there's a reason. I have to believe that there's a reason for that. It kind of leaves the window open for him to sign somewhere else.
Yeah, and then if that's what are we looking at there? I mean, obviously he's already seemingly committed to the CBS portion of this. We're looking at what, an emergency situation?
Yep.
But now you can eliminate 15 teams, 20 teams?
Sure, but what about this?
28 teams?
What right? If we're in a situation where it's not week 16? What if, and I hate to use this example, I don't want to get the nation in an uproar. What if something happens to Derek Carr in
week
November?
Two. Okay.
You got EJ Manuel. What are you talking about? You're good.
I don't think that gets him.
Hey, get mic two. Cut mic two. What if something happens to Derek Carr? Is Tony you have an offensive line. You have weapons. You have Khalil Mack on the other side of the ball. Who knows what they're going to do with the draft? Who knows if they're going to get Marshawn Lynch or Adrian Peterson behind him? He fits. He's a perfect fit.
Maybe not for the Raiders, though.
Not for the Raiders?
I don't know. I mean, if he's...
Would you rather have EJ Manuel taking you down the home stretch?
If he's been there since May.
Yeah, that's also my concern, is him getting prepared
right. And
acclimated and getting into the playbook. Because remember when Sam Bradford came
to Minnesota? Hey, offensive line, protect me. Mm-hmm. Crabtree, you guys get open. I got you.
No, but
occasionally, Marshawn, I'm going to give you the ball. I promise you, if we're on the one, I'll give you the ball.
No, that does sound easy. But remember the situation that... and I just lost my train of thought. There was a quarterback that came in, Sam Bradford, in Philadelphia, when he went from Philadelphia to Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And he got there kind of late. So he didn't have time to get all the plays. And remember, their play calling was so limited in his first 2 weeks because he didn't know the plays, which is natural. You can't come in and completely absorb a team's playbook and know all of the options off of that one play, which is like Tony knows the Dallas Cowboy playbook enough to know every single option off of one play. He knows the 12 different things he can do with that formation. Well, you got to learn that when you go to the new team, or you're going to be handcuffing the offense like Sam Bradford did, where they didn't have any options, had nowhere to go and nothing to do. So then if you do come out of back out of the booth to play, how much time does he need to get ready? You've only got 17 weeks in a regular season.
Right.
How much time does he get to get ready? Like, that's a whole nother conversation as well. If he does come back, let's say week 6, how much are you going to give him to get up to speed on your playbook?
What, Bradford had a week and a half?
About that.
And Bradford was in a training camp and it was in shape.
Been prepped.
Now,
yeah.
Tony's got to bring his fat butt out the booth.
Tony Romo's in fantastic shape. Don't you dare disparage the good name of Tony Romo.
You know that good CBS catering. You know what I'm saying?
But we're also now talking about 2 full years removed from playing?
I'm just throwing stuff out there. I don't know. That's my quarterback, man.
Yeah, I just can't see how he would come back once, you know, it seems like he took so long to decide that once he does this.
It's just Dallas to me.
So I was going to say, so let's just go with Jason's scenario. Something happened. What if nothing happens to Dak and he stinks?
I don't think.
You don't do anything?
Well.
You only do it if Dak gets hurt? Week 5, Dak.
What do you mean, Dallas or?
Dallas. I'm talking about Dallas only. What if Dak gets hurt or what if Dak is bad in week 6? What if they're 2-4?
They had that option in front of them this whole time.
And you and I agreed that that was the best option. Mm-hmm. Keep him there as the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
I just don't think. I'm trying to find the exact dollar value. 14. Oh, you know what else it is also? The money, even though Tony Romo is getting the money, the cap can be spread because they released him over 2 years. If they put him on the it's a specific name. Sorry for messing it up. It's not called a retired list, but it's a reserved retired list or something like that. They can't spread that cap money over 2 years. So that's another reason that they had to do the full-on release. But my feeling is, man, just pay it. That you have it. You have the money. Free agency is kind of come and gone. Anyone else who's left out there in free agency isn't going to cost you anything, or at least big dollars.
Right.
Even if you brought in Adrian Peterson, which you don't need, or Marshawn Lynch, because really we're talking about running backs. There's a couple of quarterbacks out there, none of them of which you would bring in this situation. So why not just, hey, okay, you could go. We'll put you on the retire list. You're going to get your full money. We'll eat it. As they say, we'll just eat it. It's not going to mess up our cap because your successor makes $400,000.
So you got your man came back, Kellen.
Yeah,
they re-signed him as your backup, right? And then did you re-sign Sanchez or no?
No, Sanchez signed with
where did he go?
Somebody. Sanchez signed somewhere. I can't remember where.
Right. Chicago behind Glennon.
Sanchez?
No,
wow, did he?
I don't know. Somewhere.
Oh my gosh,
that would be awesome.
Bears, he did sign with the Bears.
That's great.
That is just fun to think about.
Oh, well.
Mike Glennon and Mark Sanchez.
Well, I will say I'm still going to defend Glennon.
I know you love Glennon.
No, I don't. I mean, I think he's all right. I saw him his rookie year, and I thought he was okay. I mean, if you look at his stats from his rookie year, I think it's 13 touchdowns, and I think he had 8 interceptions. Hey, I'm okay with that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. Kid wasn't bad at all. So I think he's going to be all right. I think he's going to be all right. I know people are saying, oh, he never played and he got $45 million. I'm like, yes, he has played and he's going to be fine. Isn't like he's been just sitting there drinking water the whole time.
There's a name that we can mention on this show and get immediate response from the people listening to
it. You mean another name?
Another name.
There's a couple of
hot
buttons.
There's not here anymore.
Okay, you're right. There's two. Okay. Jason brought this. There's two. One that used to play in San Francisco. One that used to play here. This Tony Romo name in terms of response is rivaling those two individuals.
I can see it because he seems like Jerry.
I didn't realize there was so much
from day one,
so much venom against Tony Romo.
Well, think about it. He's been protected by Jerry since day one. He's never won a thing. He's been able to date supermodels and actresses, and he's gone through his career untouched by anything. And everyone's like, you
Well, he's
never
gotten touched
won.
A lot. That's why he's missed so many games. Over. He's been touched one too many times.
Can you think of any other quarterback or player that's more protected by a franchise outside of Tom Brady?
Joe Namath and the freaking Jets all these years later.
Okay, you may be onto something there. Because, but what did he do, though?
Oh, Jesus.
He won a Super Bowl.
Shut up.
It's 12:24. Time for Hot Tubs of Sacramento's 2017 Spring Blowout Sale, hottubsofsacramento.com.
By the way, there was a national title game played last night. Mm.
Really?
There was.
For most
only the NFL. Only the NFL and a Dallas Cowboy quarterback could take the shine off of that. We'll continue with this conversation. Keep those texts coming at 44-1140. We'll get into the game. Kings Mavericks tonight. Plenty more to come here as the lowdown continues. You ain't right, dude. That's not funny.
Tony! My quarterback.
Tell me one more slant, Tony. Just one more time. I will go across the middle. Hey, you hit me in stride.
I feel like Marlon Brando.
Stella!
I thought Chris asked you a great question before the show about Romo. He had said if Romo had gone to Denver, and made it to the Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl. You really like Romo. Would you have been happy for him?
Yeah.
Or ticked? He beat your team.
I would have been happy.
If he beat the Cowboys in the Super Bowl, you'd be happy for Romo.
I mean, I would be. Absolutely. Because
that's the problem, right?
There's about 100 texts right here that are just hating all over Tony Romo.
That's your team, though.
Yes, that's my team. And that's, I think that's the only team I really, really have are the Dallas Cowboys. And
so how would you not be crushed by that?
I'd be devastated. I'd hate it.
But you'd be happy for Romo.
Of course, I'd be happy for him. Like I would be crushed if the Cowboys lost.
He missed 42 games.
Why are you
injuries?
Bringing up old stuff? What does that have to do with anything?
If I'm not, that's,
come back.
That's 2.5 full seasons.
Yeah.
Due to injury. Wow.
Whoa.
That's old. Supposed to be talking about his broadcasting career. Look, that's not bad. Look, 15, 5, 7.
That's not bad.
2008, 2010, 2013, 14, 15, twice in 2015.
That's impressive. You got to admit. If you can fracture your clavicle two times in one season, come on, man. That dude's got heart and dedication.
Right? That's, you have to be trying to do that.
Yes.
And weak bones.
Get him some milk. Get him a contract with milk. But he was actually, a good quarterback. Was he just bad luck? Just misfortune?
He held on to the ball. He just holds on to the ball. There were a lot of hits that he could have avoided. He took a lot of punishment just because he liked to hold on to the ball. Now, a lot of the times that he held on to the ball, he did that. He made spectacular plays doing it. But then there are those occasions where he just held on to the ball too damn long, and he'd take a hit. Whether it resulted in an injury or not, he would take a hit, and those hits start to pile up. And before you know it, he's taking this awkward, you know, he's got a 300-pound guy who's not hitting him hard. He just rolls up on his back, and it's over. Career's over.
That is a problem.
At least it appears it is.
Hall of Fame career?
Ooh. I was going to come in here and fight everyone who said no, and I didn't have a ton of time to research everybody, but I looked at I don't know. I'm not sure. He's right around the what was the Mendoza line we sent that, was it Deardorff? Dan Fouts. Thank you. It was Dan Fouts. I don't think Dan Deardorff threw a lot of touchdowns.
No.
Dan Fouts was kind of he's above that Mendoza line, but just barely. He's like There's like Vinny Testaverde, right?
Yeah.
He almost hits the level of Dan Fouts but doesn't quite make it. Like, Romo's there. I don't know what the curve is.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
And the
desperate for Super Bowls in the NFL, and he doesn't have one.
That is the measure of quarterbacks. We talked about this. You don't measure a defensive lineman by that. You don't measure a linebacker by that. But you measure quarterbacks by that. And the thing about holding the ball too long, yeah, that is a problem, but that's also what coaches want. Like, I was just reading the quote. They asked Kyle Shanahan, the new coach of the San Francisco 49ers, why he didn't want to keep Colin Kaepernick. And he said, hey, he's got a certain skill set that's good for particular set offenses. And if he finds a team that's got a spread out offense, he can really do some damage. He's like, but that's not what we're doing here. He's like, I need a quarterback like Brian Hoyer who's going to stand back there and wait. He's going to stay in the pocket and wait until somebody gets open. And his last quote was, quarterbacks who do that give everyone a chance to succeed. Every quarterback coach and every offensive coordinator wants the quarterback to hold that ball. So I don't know where it is where Tony got to the point where he was holding it just a little bit too long. Yeah. But he's supposed to hold it. He's supposed to stay back there and stand strong and wait. Gotcha.
Yeah, and I wonder if, like, when they're evaluating Hall of Fame credentials, obviously we've said it many times, but people do measure playoff success, certainly Super Bowl rings at that position as one of the huge caveats. But I also wonder if he's on that bubble now of how this game has changed to a passing league. It almost reminds me of baseball when we'd say, oh, if you hit 400 home runs, you're in.
Yeah.
Well, that number's dead now. I mean, now it's, you got to get five or more. And then we still wonder, you know, if you're a 30,000, 40,000-yard passer, all right, now you're seeing other guys that you go, they're not Hall of Famers, and their numbers are past. So his numbers are good. His winning percentage is good. I don't know that there's another little oomph to him that gives you to go, yeah, because of this, also put him in there. And I don't know. I think that's missing.
He's also the all-time leading passer in Cowboys history.
Yeah, I mean, to say he's the greatest Cowboy quarterback should mean – I mean, that's
got – No, he's the what?
But he's the only one that didn't win.
I'm sorry, he's the what?
Would you say he's the greatest Cowboy quarterback?
Oh, my God, no. No, I'm just saying he's the leader in yards.
It's Staubach or Aikman or
– Well, it's neither one of those guys. In terms of just being a quarterback, it's got to be Tony Romo.
What, the greatest Cowboy quarterback?
Yeah.
No, it's Staubach. It's always going to be Staubach.
Why not Aikman?
Because Staubach is the first. I mean, like, they'd already had the guy who used to do the football, Don Meredith, right?
Andy Don.
But I don't think they won a Super Bowl with Don. I think they lost when they got there with Don.
Yeah, I think even, Craig Morton or something like that
was
there as
before,
well.
And that's who Roger Staubach beat out. And then they finally got over the hump, and I think, and they won with Roger when they beat Denver that year. And, you know, he got him there a bunch of times. A
couple times against Pittsburgh, right? Did he get him once, I think?
He never beat Pittsburgh.
Oh, he didn't?
No, it's impossible. But, no, seriously.
That's a fact.
At that time.
In the 70s, it was impossible to beat Pittsburgh. But I felt like Roger Staubach always has the thing that he's the guy. And Troy is going to be up there as well. But remember, Troy didn't throw a lot because he had
Edmonds. Troy had, right.
So, yeah, his stats aren't amazing.
His stats don't even go up there, but he has three rings. Yeah.
Sorry, just doing a little comparison search over here.
I would even say that Tony is still behind Danny White.
Ooh.
No, that's not a bad thing. Because remember, Danny White was a punter. He was the punter and the backup quarterback before he became the starting quarterback, and his tough luck was running into Joe Montana and the catch.
Yep.
Let's throw Danny. Hey, that's not working.
Because Romo, looking at yards, if it's just yards, which, again, he's going to have more than all those guys, 34,000, he's about 29th all-time.
Oh, for the NFL.
NFL. Okay. Ahead of Aikman. But again, we know Aikman.
Exactly.
You're measuring three rings to none.
Who's number 30 on the
Romo,
list?
Just
John Hadle.
What?
Yeah. Then ironically.
John Hadle from the old AFL Chargers?
Yeah. Ironically, the guy who's 31 is Phil Simms.
Oh!
One up again. Yeah. Romo has 2,000 more yards than Troy Aikman. He has 12,000 more yards than Roger Staubach. Way more touchdowns than both of them.
Interceptions.
Better completion percentage. Interceptions, he has more than Staubach, less than Aikman.
Yeah, because Aikman, the first couple of years, remember, they threw a lot, and it was just...
Aikman has 141 interceptions.
Yeah, he took a lot of that. The first year, he took all those hits and those interceptions.
To me, it's the postseason. If anything keeps him out, it's the postseason. I feel like regular season, he's a Hall of Famer. Postseason is a big deal. It's not a lot there.
Yeah, there's a drastic difference when you get to the playoffs in that you have Troy Aikman is 11-4, Roger Staubach is 11-6, and Tony Romo is 2-4.
Yeah.
Tony Romo is the best regular season quarterback in Dallas Cowboy history.
Do you guys feel Carson Palmer's a Hall of Famer? No? I mean, I don't know that I do, but like, I'm just looking at number. Palmer has 10,000 yards more than Romo and still playing. So, you know, he'll get to 12,000, 13,000, 14,000 more.
You know what? I guess the longevity should be rewarded.
Yeah. The comparisons that I was looking at earlier that really kind of sparked my attention or got my attention were I wanted to compare Tony to Eli. And to Roethlisberger and to that 2004 group. And, they all blew him away.
Yeah.
Because Tony has missed so many games.
And then they've got the other part, the jewelry, too.
Mm-hmm. And they both have the jewelry, right.
But, it's interesting, the Carson Palmer thing. I feel like, I like him personally. As I told you, I've covered him since high school. I root for him. But I never thought of him as a Hall of Famer. Until you mentioned that, I'm like, you know what? He's come back from three pretty serious injuries. I know two for sure. And he comes back and he's able to get back up into that 4,000 yard area.
Yeah.
He's come back a couple of times. I mean.
Yeah, decent year this year for him. Just decent. Not even crazy. He's top 10 passing of all time. And that's something. I know
that
it's the numbers are better, but it's longevity.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Jump in here, Jason. What do you think, man? Jason, that's you, not Jason Ross. Jason on the phone.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hey.
Hey, I just want to say Ken is on crack. there's no way that you can sit there and say Roger Staubach was a better quarterback than Tony Romo, and Troy Aikman. I don't like all three of them. They all suck. So you would have to say that Bart Starr was better than Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
I think what I'm saying is that in the when you look at things in the historical context and what Roger Staubach did, I felt like in Cowboy lore, he is more appreciated than any other quarterback in the history of that franchise. He won the Heisman Trophy. He did his 2 years of naval service that was required, came to the league a little older than most guys do, and still did what he did. So I still feel like in the annals of history, he is much more respected than any other Cowboy quarterback.
Breaking news from CBS, Tony Romo has severely scratched his throat at his press conference, eating a handful of peanuts, and is out for an undetermined amount of time. You people are just cruel. We got details how you can win $1,000 with our 10K a day giveaway next. You going to do this all day, huh? You going to do this all day, huh, Chris? All right. Storm the court, huh? Okay. It's 1249 Jenny King Cleaning. Franchise ownership is a reality. Be your own boss. Call 916-364-9800. Stick around. Coming up in just a few minutes, you're going to have an opportunity to win $1,000 with the 10K a day giveaway right near the top of the hour. Between 6 and 3, you're going to have the opportunity to text the word, the keyword, to 80787 and win $1,000. Listen for that keyword right before the top of the hour. Again, that number, 80787. That's going to be your opportunity to win $1,000. A number of things that we got to touch on. By the way, during that break, we're just taking a look at some numbers here. If the line is Dan Fouts, Romo doesn't make it.
And so we're saying
He's well short.
That's the line you have to get into the Hall of Fame without having won any.
Dan Fouts has 43,000 yards and 254 touchdowns. Romo has 34,000 yards, 248 touchdowns.
But however, years of service? Like, did Dan play longer than Tony? You know
yes.
what I mean? Okay.
Yes. He played about 20 more games, almost 30 more games. He played almost 30 more games than Tony Romo did. Joe Namath sucks. This is ridiculous. Here's a comparison. Dan Fouts played 120. Where are we at? So Joe Namath is almost 7,000 yards less than Tony Romo. He's the most overrated quarterback in history. He's the most overrated Hall of Famer in the entire world.
He is kind of. Like, and I don't want to say exactly, okay, because this person I'm going to reference was pretty awesome before he got to this iconic moment. I'm talking about Kirk Gibson. He's an awesome athlete.
Mm-hmm.
But no one ever talks about his time in Detroit. His time in Detroit, he was amazing.
Right.
All you ever see is that ridiculous limping around the bases, fist pump home run against the A's in the World Series in, I think, 1988. Is that right?
Yep.
And I'm like, it's all about timing. It's all about timing. It's when you do it. Because he didn't do anything else the rest of that series. No one remembers that. That's all he did.
Yeah.
Was that. It's the same thing with Joe Namath. He's important because what he did was symbolized to the AFL, the old AFL, who had just become part of the NFL. And that was the message, like, yes, we can play with you in the NFL. We belong here. And so that kind of like helped to usher in and kind of say, for the merger, this is okay. And so it's just about timing. He just did this great, and then, of course, predicting it, and then being in New York, and then being Joe wearing a mink on the sidelines. All wearing pantyhose and doing ads for that. All that stuff comes together at once. You know what I mean? It's like at that one point, Joe Namath was the center of the universe.
Joe did suck, but his I Want to Kiss You drunkenness was epic.
That was good.
That's according to the text line. It was good, if not mildly offensive.
It was offensive, but Susie Colbert is super, super cute.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to have the video game MLB The Show 17. We're going to be
Yeah, man,
giving...
where's my copy?
No, man.
See, you need to have me play it so I could be the guy that's like, you know, the unsolicited testimonial. You know what I mean? Oh, it's such a great game. I played it last night. You totally want to win this. And da 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 da.
What was great is when we were giving away, I think it was at NBA 2K or NFL something, and you had already had it.
Yeah.
And you were at home playing. You're talking about how you were at home playing your son. Oh, it's like, yeah. All
he
right.
loves that. We have a great time.
It's because you guys love video games.
We do.
Speaking of MLB, I know there was a lot going on. We're gonna dig into the national championship and really what a mess that game was last night. Congratulations to Roy Williams in North Carolina. We'll talk all about that at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. We'll get back to Romo. Any more news comes across that. The A's were entertaining last night. I know you aren't particularly thrilled with them, given that they were playing your Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim Orange County. But part of it, I think, was because of the Ricky Henderson factor. Just Ricky being there suddenly makes it funner. I'm sorry, Jason. More fun.
Okay.
Makes it more fun.
Sure.
And not a bad way to start the season.
No, it was. I was actually, you know what surprised me the most? It looked like it was full. The stands, I was like, wow, great job, A's fans. Great job. You guys came out. I mean, they really came out in droves. The thing about the game is the game, and there's 161 remaining, and I got to see my man Mike Trout go yard, and I was happy with that. And I knew they weren't going to be able to hold it because I saw the first inning when they got two singles back-to-back, and then Trout hit to a 6-4 three-double play. And I was like, oh, no, it's going to be like that tonight. But the thing is that these two teams, even when the A's are struggling, they play the Angels. They play them, like, head up. They're perfect together. So I always like to see the series, and it's always fun. But here's my thing. If I'm a director or producer of that broadcast, I'm going to tell my reporter, Suzanne, whatever her name was, please don't ask extended questions to Ricky Henderson.
Yeah.
Please do your homework and know who you're talking to. He's not the person you want for extended answers.
Right.
Even a follow-up question she had when he was like, yeah, I chat with there was one of the guys on the team. And he was talking about the guy wants to kind of follow in his footsteps and wants to steal bases and wants to be an effective player. I think he was maybe talking about Davis, Roger Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, he wants to kind of, you know, follow in my footsteps. You know, Ricky's not shy about anything. He's like, so we chat and I kind of give him some pointers. She's like, oh, what do you guys chat about? Right? Yeah, the look you just gave me is what I gave the TV. It's like, are you stupid? Come on, man. You don't ask this guy to elaborate. First off, you don't want him to.
Right.
Second of all, it's only nine innings.
Right? And number three, it's if a player says, I'm chatting with another player, you don't really want to know that. You don't ask him that. You don't know what they're talking about. And I was just like, come on. You've got to know better than that. But he was actually entertaining.
Ricky?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they asked him about the Raiders.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And he talked about that. I thought, okay. Interesting. It was a whole separate presser where they asked him about the Raiders, which we ended up showing this morning on CBS 13. And I was like, oh, Ricky made sense. All right. That works for me. He did look good, though.
Yeah.
Is he coaching or helping out?
He's just waiting for a call-up.
He looks super, like, fit and in shape. Like, he could go out there and play
today. Well, I think that's what he's waiting for. Ricky Henderson Field is cute. He wants to play.
Yep.
He still would if they'd let him.
He probably could.
Yeah.
No doubt. No doubt. Pay attention. Your chance to win 10K coming up here in just seconds. And we'll have MLB The Show 17 for you in the 1 o'clock hour.
It's 12:56. Time for Hot Tubs of Sacramento's 2017 Spring Blowout Sale. HotTubsOfSacramento.com.
Everything good and bad about the national championship last night next here on Sports 1140 KHDK.